Navega Mundo. Awakens the imagination of children through fun stories around the world. Navega Mundo Gang will travel back in time. In this adventure, Pacha takes Milou and Filé in her magic canoe back to the 19th century Serra Gaúcha to solve a very old puzzle and help their friend Bianca, who lives in northern Italy. They need to find Grandpa Piero, who holds a part of the secret. Along the way, they will get to know how the first Italian immigrants lived in southern Brazil. Come on this magical adventure with us! Bianca and the Enigma of the Letter. Episode 1. A Return to the Past. Milou and Filé were at home when Milou's cell phone started ringing. It was a video call from Bianca, an Italian friend they met in an online game. "Buongiorno, Milou and Filé," the girl said as she appeared on the screen. "I need some help. I found a very old letter stored in my family's old trunk, which I can't understand. I think this letter holds the soluzione to a multi-serious problem that is happening in my papa's fruit plantation, here in Italy." The friends were concerned, but Bianca didn't want to say what the problem was. First, she wanted to decipher the message, so she sent a photo of the letter by cell phone. The letter was really old. Yellowed paper, and the letters neatly written. There were words in a language totally unknown to them. They were intrigued. The first sentence was strange.
"Ca flourishes with the visit from the meeting."
What did that mean? What language would that be? And why was that letter written by Bianca's great-great-grandmother that long ago so important to a problem Bianca was having now? "Count on us to investigate this for you, Bianca," Filé promised, knowing already that they would have to resort to Pacha. Within minutes, there she was. Pacha, the friend who took them on incredible trips in her flying magic canoe, which could break the limits of time and space. "Pacha, can you understand what is written in this letter?" Milou asked. Pacha analyzed the photo and soon recognized the words. "It is Talian with Caigangue." "Talian with Caing what?" Filé was bewildered, and Pacha explained. "Some 150 years ago, Italian immigrants spoke their original idioms. Each had their own different dialect. Today, Talian is the name given to the way immigrants spoke back in the day in southern Brazil. Caigangue was the language spoken by the Indians in that region. I am not very fluent in that language, but it must have been written in one place in time, the 19th century Brazilian Serra Gaúcha. To solve this mystery, your friend has to travel there." The friends made a new video call and invited Bianca for a trip to the past.
"Me? Traveling to the past?" said Bianca, scared to hear the proposal.
"That's right. In a magic canoe, it will be super cool," explained Filé, excited.
"But what if we can't get back? What if the canoe gets lost?"
Oh no, better not. I'll stay here. You go."
Milou and Filé tried to tell Bianca there was no problem. They had already been in dozens of magical trips like that. But Bianca was not convinced, and after a while, only the two of them went up in the canoe. "Don't be sad. Everyone is different.
Someday, she will gather the courage, Pacha commented, tapping her staff to the bottom of the canoe and leaving for the year 1894. In her pocket, Milou carried Bianca's great-great-grandmother's letter, as if it were a treasure. The canoe traveled at an incredible speed, and in no time, they spotted a small village made of wooden houses in the middle of the Araucaria forest. In the distance, they saw a family in an apple and peach plantation where Pacha left them and said, "I'll be close by in case you need me." The place was full of bees, and Filet jumped to avoid being stung. "Hey! That bee almost bit me!" Soon, one of the farmers came over to reassure Filet. "Calm down, kid. These bees won't sting you. They have no sting and are our best friends to pollinate flowers. They help us grow our fruits." The farmer was called Giuseppe and had arrived in Brazil coming from Italy some 20 years earlier. He was surprised by the clothes of those children, but he thought it could be some typical Brazilian clothes that he did not know yet. The family house was all made of wood, built with planks, cut with a handsaw, out of pine trees native to the region. A sweet scent of fruit hung in the air. Giuseppe's wife, Maria, was weeding around some flowering peach trees and was struggling to lift a heavy bucket. "Let me carry it," Filet offered himself. "What's in this bucket?" "Chicken poop, to put at the foot of the tree," Maria replied calmly. And Filet made a face of, "Ugh!" Pierina, the couple's daughter, was putting a paper bag around each fruit. "Why are you doing this?" asked Milou. "That's how we protect peaches from flies. Come on, I'll show you how to do it." The morning went by quickly on the plantation. Milou and Filet were exhausted. "Wow, do you ever stop working?" "Of course not. We came to this paese para lavorar, para far l'America, to build America," Maria replied. That was when Milou decided to talk about the letter, the reason for them to be there. Giuseppe glanced at the paper and said, "I can only understand half. These parole, I don't know." Milou recalled Pacha saying that some words were in an indigenous language. The Indians moved away from that region, precisely to make room for the colonists. So, how would they translate the words to decipher the enigmatic letter? "Don't be sad. Grandpa Piero knows Kaingangi." Maria remembered that, cheering Milou up. "He was one of the first Italians to arrive here and lived alongside some Indians. Proceed to Sixth League, where his colony is located." "Cologne?" Filet was confused. "Like a perfume?" "No," Marie smiled. "Colony is what we call the land we bought here in this country. E no altri siamo tutti coloni." "Is it far?" asked Milou. "It's a long walk. But before you leave, come and eat something. We have corn biscuits, bread and salami, all made by myself, and milk fresh from the cow." The children ate, thanked, and left. The sight along the way was a treat, full of orange dots in the middle of the green expanse, which were nothing but mandarins, pumpkins and oranges from the plantations. The two walked and walked until they saw a stone house on the outskirts of the village. That was where Nonno Piero lived. A man with white hair and mustache opened the door and let them in. They explained what they were doing there and, under the light of a lamp, Nonno Piero began to translate the letter that Milou took from her denim jacket and handed it to him. Well, the first sentence has a few words in Kaingangi. Ka, meaning the trees, bloom with the visit by the mirim, which are the bees. The second sentence has bits in Talian. It says, they are the ones who scattered powdered gold from the fiori, which means flowers, and give vita, life, to the persegari, peach trees. Nonno Piero continued. But there will come a time when a year, near, a child in Kaingangi, a child as white as the moon, will be without a risa, talian for smile, because ka, the trees, will be harmed by omo, the man. The children were silent for a while, trying to understand what they had just heard. That girl without a smile can only be Bianca, concluded Milou. But why were the bees going to sadden Bianca? Filé was still thoughtful. It didn't help much coming here. Even after being translated, the letter still doesn't make sense. The message was not to you, boy, Nonno Piero commented. It was written to this girl, who is as white as the moon. Only she can unveil its true meaning. Milou and Filé looked at each other. They needed to call Pacha so she could take them to Bianca. It was time for another trip, this time to northern Italy. The end. Navega Mundo. Cultural storytelling podcasts to listen anytime, anywhere. Discover the next adventure. See you next time. This podcast is also available in Italian, Spanish, and English. Credits. Making, Navega Mundo. Concept, argument, and direction, Marta Elisa Castro Eberli. Funding. Culture Incentive Law from Caxias do Sul, Rio Grande do Sul, Brasil.
Cultural Support. Randon Companies, Racon Consortiums, and Institute Elisabetta Randon.
Cultural Production by Claudio Troian. Fundraising by Capta Ação Gestão de Projetos. Screenplay. Angélica Lopes. Today's episode was narrated by Valquíria Ruaro dos Reis. Audio production carried out by Luciano Lubisco Leães. Translations of Minsky Idiomas, directed by Horacio Santini, with the collaboration of Hernani Savares. Digital marketing and communication consultancy by Leading, in collaboration with Lato Senso. Illustration by Adriano Oliveschi. The illustrated scene makes reference to the mountain regions Serra Gaúcha in southern Brazil. Special collaboration by Arthur Magnani, Bebel Eberli, Cristina Medeiros, Elisa Eberli, Gianna Dallerive, Família Uxai, Ellen Magnani, Letícia Lopes, Magda Torresini, Marley Zanetti, Marina Heinen, Marisette Estrela,
Tayana Neuer, Vitalina Frossi, and Vilmar D'Angelis.
All rights reserved to Marta Elisa Castro Eberli. Did you know that children with a mobile device connected to the internet can learn and have fun at the same time? Navegamundo.com. The Navegamundo channel is also available on audio platforms.